And let's just together honor God as I read the scriptures audibly. And then we're going to seek him in prayer, seek his help as we try to understand what's been recorded for us here. Leviticus 23, beginning at verse 23. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with blast of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord. Amen. Our Father, we plead with you again to meet us here in the scriptures. By the power of the Spirit, Lord, open our understanding. Help us to understand what you mean by what you say here. Help us, Lord, to understand how it applies to our life. And then grant us great power by your grace to order our lives according to your will. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, God bless you. You may be seated. Again, this week, our subject is the Feast of the Lord. We're taking a look for the fifth time at these feasts, and it is the fifth feast, okay? Now, remember that these Old Testament festivals were held during agricultural seasons. Because this was an agrarian society. This is, agriculture was the dominant part of the of their economy, and so vital to life. And so, God then designed these festivals to center around the their main agricultural seasons. What? The spring and the fall. You'll read in your Bible. Sometimes it's called the early rain, and the what? The latter rain. Okay. And so these two seasons were where these festivals were centered. Biblical festivals, as we've agreed all along, find their fulfillment in Christ. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Last week, what we've seen thus far, then, is the first three festivals were fulfilled in Christ. What? His birth, his death, and his resurrection. Okay? And that should be really fairly easy to track, right? When you see the Passover being the death and unleavened bread, a part of that I didn't discuss with you, but a part of the festival is that you wrap a part of that unleavened bread and you'd hide it. You'd hide it under object there in the home. The children would try to find it. Okay, so that's kind of the picture of burial. And then, of course, the next feast then would be the resurrection, right? First fruits. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, then would picture the resurrection. The feast we looked at last week was the Feast of Weeks. You remember that? And that was that feast then was a celebration of the giving of the law there in Exodus 19. And it was a celebration of the harvest, right? You count 49 days or 50 days, if you would, from the last festival from fruits. First fruits, and you find your way at the Feast of Weeks, right? We learned that this feast in the New Testament then correlated, as you think about how this is fulfilled in Jesus, this was correlated in the Feast of Pentecost, right? Because Jesus said, I will go to the Father, and the Father will what? Send the Spirit, okay? And so this was fulfilled at the Feast of Pentecost in the New Testament, Acts 2, and we see the beauty of how that was brought about. So that's the first four feasts. Today we look at the fifth feast, and we're going to talk about, as we have in the pattern before, we're going to look at the origin of the Feast of Trumpets, and then we're going to try to extract the significance for us, all right? The significance of the Feast of Trumpets, right? Let's dive in. So as we think about the origin of the Feast of Trumpets here in Leviticus 23, you should have no reservation whatsoever. By now, we've looked at this four times. You know that this came from God. It has divine origin. Even without us having to engage in this, but I want to step it through so that it's beyond, it's undeniably obvious to you, right? So if you look at verse 23, you will notice Leviticus 23:3. You see that it's the Lord who is speaking, right? So this, the Lord is instituting the feast of this feast of trumpets, just as he has instituted every other feast. And he's speaking as the Lord. He's, whenever God speaks, it's with authority. All right. His authority is unchallengeable. Even if it is challenged, it can never thwart it. The rebellious angels were put in their place right away. OK, so God is Jesus. When he rose from the dead, he said, all exousia, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. OK, so God, he is from everlasting to everlasting. God is the creator of all things. Right. He has all authority. All authority emanates from him. OK, so he's the source of authority. So when he speaks with authority to his creation. And that's what we see here. You see verse 23. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, and as we saw in all the other festivals, God is speaking to the people who should understand and who should obey. Okay? When God speaks, he speaks to us as those who should understand what he's saying and those who will obey what he's saying. You got verse 24. Speak to the people of Israel. He didn't say speak to the nations. He didn't say speak to the heathens. Why? They'd have no idea what Moses was saying. No idea whatsoever. As a matter of fact, they don't even know who God is because they got so many gods. So which God is, you see, so you see the problem. When God speaks to you and I after he's saved us, he's speaking to people, number one, who have a new mind that can understand and who have been created on the inside that says, I want to obey. Yeah. Your word isn't burdensome to me. I want to do what you say.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
And so that's what we have here.
Yeah.
Our maker and our master is speaking. And he's speaking to, actually, Israel is God's creation.
Amen.
God didn't just look out among a group of people and pick the group of people. No. He started with one heathen named Abraham, converted him.
Yeah.
And out of Abraham, God made himself a nation.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So that nation knows who your maker is.
Yeah.
That's the that nation ought to know the voice of your maker.
Yeah.
So Jesus said, my sheep, what? Hear my voice. I know them and they, what? Follow me. Yes? And so it's the same here. In the Old Testament, it's only one God. The same God, he functions the same way. For those of you who think that something different was going on in the Old Testament, everybody in the Old Testament was saved by grace just like
Amen.
The ones in the New. As nobody earned any salvation anytime, anywhere, anyhow.
Amen.
We just know more about it. Yes?
Amen.
So that same nature was in them. And then not only was it a divine origin, there was divine instruction. So you go back to verse 24. A couple of comments. One comment in particular. These last three feasts that we're about to study took place in the fall. Okay, on our calendar, it'd be like the September-October time frame. Okay, so keep that in mind, that these last three festivals are happening in the fall season. Remember what I said at the beginning? You had the spring festivals. We've already looked at those. Now we looked at seven that were early in the early part of the season. Now we're looking at the last three. Okay, and so this particular feast here, it was held, it was a one-day festival, a one-day feast. It was held on the first day of the seventh month, okay? You got to look at verse 24. Speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month on the first day of the month. You got it? There's no question about when this was to be observed. And for those that would try to make concessions, you have to go back to, has God said?
Yeah.
This is what God has said,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The first day of the seventh month. And I don't think we've talked about this before. So this month is called Tishrei, okay? Tishrei. And I'll give you just a little bit more detail in a minute. But in the month of Tishrei, then this festival was to take place. Actually, these last three are all going to be in the month of Tishrei, okay? The other thing you'll notice is that not only is it a one-day festival held on the first day of the seventh month, this festival is then uniquely characterized because trumpets were to be blown to assemble people for worship, right? You remember what Trey said before about one of the purposes for trumpets is to what? Assemble. Well, in this particular case, it's being used for worship. And so the trumpet is blown to assemble people for worship. You go back to verse 24. Seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a solemn day of rest, a memorial proclaimed with blast of trumpets. Okay? With a blast of trumpets. So these trumpets were blown, much like what you heard earlier, and the people knew that God is calling us to worship.
Yeah.
Okay? Because it's the first day of the what? Seventh month. Okay? The last thing I'll mention to you about divine instructions, then you see at the end of this section. You go back to the end of verse 24. It said it's a holy convocation. Verse 25, you shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord. Right? So several animal sacrifices and a meal offering were included in this holy. Remember we talked about that before? This is a holy convocation. Why is it holy? Because God said it was holy. When God establishes a day as holy, it's holy because he establishes it. Right? Because God said it's holy, then it is holy. Why are you and I holy? Simply because God has declared us holy.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Yes, sir.
It's nothing that we did.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen. Amen.
It's because of what he did,
yeah,
and what he has declared. We have been what? Justified by faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
No. There's therefore now no condemnation for us, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We've been justified by faith, and we are now at peace with God.
Uh-huh.
He's declared us righteous. That's how we got there.
Yeah.
And when God declares a day is holy, it is what? Holy. It is holy. And I'll give you a little taste of the details. Can you turn to Numbers 29? I'll just read one paragraph here just to give you a flavor of the kind of the way this day was to take place. You got it? Numbers 29, verses 1 through 6. On the first day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a day for you to blow the trumpets. And you shall offer a burnt offering for a pleasing aroma to the Lord. One bull from the herd, one ram, seven lambs, a year old, without blemish. Also these grain offerings of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah, for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs, with one male goat for a sin offering to make atonement for you. Besides the burnt offering of the new moon and its grain offering and the regular burnt offerings and its grain offering and their drink offering according to the rule for them for a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. Amen. And so you can see that this day had plenty of detail, plenty of instruction, but it was a celebration like all others. Okay. When God calls us to worship, he never wants us to forget about our sin. So see, that's the reason we worship Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ reminds us that we are sinners saved by grace, right? We needed a Savior, so we come here to worship the one who saved us. So, see, these worship activities involved animal sacrifices to remind the people that you can't just approach God anyway. Yeah. And so you and I, when we come to worship, even though Jesus is not, quote, physically here with the natural eye, if you've been born again, spiritually you can discern him. Why? Because he's in you.
Yeah.
We just talked about the work of the Spirit. Uh-huh. And he convicts us and reminds us why we need Jesus.
Uh-huh.
He convicts us when we have a thought that we know is not holy.
Yeah.
Thank God for Jesus.
Yeah.
That one thought would have sent me to hell. Right? Or that one word or that one action. My attitude on the way to church would have sent me to hell. So we come to worship our Savior. All worship has to be centered around the fact that He's holy. And for me to worship a holy God, I need a mediator.
Amen.
There's only one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And he ever lives to make intercession for us. Yeah. Thank God for that. Say with Job, my Redeemer lives. And I'll see him on that great day. Yeah. And so that's the instruction. And so I'll say this to you as we look at our last point. Believers then must assemble to worship God whenever he calls. See, this trumpet, you don't have any priorities higher than God when he calls you to worship.
Amen. Yeah.
That's what
Amen.
The trumpet is. So, you see, the fact is, when you know Tishrei 1 is coming, you need to make ready. So you need to get ready because you're going to have to go.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to drop everything. No, I'm looking forward to Tishrei 1.
Yeah.
So I made, I've cooked the meals. I've done, whatever. I'm not hustling around trying to get ready because it's time to go. You know when Tishrei 1 is coming.
Well,
you know when Sunday is coming.
Yeah,
all right.
Well,
right? Why is Sunday such a big surprise?
Well,
no, I'm serious. It's like, oh. It's Sunday. No. It comes around every week. 6 days, you labor and work, but the seventh, or if you will, the first day of the week for us, that's 6 days you labor and work, and on that one day, it's the Lord's day. Yes? That's no surprise. That ain't changed. Now, I'm not saying it's all perfect. I have some rough Saturdays.
Amen.
And I tell y'all that. I mean, that's sometimes I come in here with a couple hours of sleep. But I'm coming.
Amen.
I came in here today. I probably shouldn't say anything. I came in today with one side of my face full. I got a major abscess right here. But that wasn't going to keep me at home.
Amen.
This is what? The Lord's Day.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
But today? I want to get every drop that God has planned for Willie today. Could have made an excuse to stay home. Could have called Pastor McCulley. Could have called John and Alan. But no. God called. I heard the call went out from me. And I'm able. Whether I feel like it or not, God, what God has done for me? For these, what does the Bible say? For these, what? Light? Momentary. Now, thank God my wife got me Advil. I got all kinds of stuff. It got me through the night. But that's light. Momentary affliction compared to the glory that awaits. And I can come here and get a little part of that glory.
Amen.
How can that compare to and I'm not minimizing the pain of a toothache, but that don't compare to the glory. Just a foretaste, right? A foretaste. Is that enough? We get just a foretaste when we get together. All right. So then that's the as we looked at the origin, let's look at the significance then, and we'll try to wrap it up. So in the Old Testament, for the Old Testament saints, remember this. Trumpets were used for war. We already talked about that, right? Used for worship. Trumpets were used at weddings and to announce the dignitaries. Okay, those are the main functions. Okay, and then so keep this in mind. Tishrei was the seventh month on the religious calendar. Okay, you can now follow me on this, but it's the first month on the civil calendar. Okay. So you remember, in the beginning, God started everything. That was the civil calendar. Okay? So that civil calendar started, that would have been in Tishrei, as we know. So Tishrei started, and then all the other Jewish months would have followed along behind. When you get to Exodus 12, and God is about to deliver Israel from Egypt, at that Passover, he said, this is what? This will be the beginning of months for you, right? That was the month Abib or Nisan, okay? So here you got now, you still got the civil calendar going along that starts at Tishrei, but now you got a new calendar that starts at Nisan or Abib, okay? And so the people of God always live with two calendars. You got a natural calendar when you were born, and you got a new calendar when you were what? Born again. And so you got a natural birthday when you were born, and whatever that day is, that's wonderful. You celebrate that. But you also got a new birthday when you were what? Born again. And so every Christian in here is living with what? Two calendars. Okay? And so you got to keep that in mind, that this celebration now is celebrating two different things. It's Tishrei 1, which is this festival that we're talking about, but it's also the new year. You get it? They're celebrating the Feast of Trumpets and the new year. It's all wrapped up in one. Did y'all follow that? So Tishrei 1 was a celebration of God's faithfulness for the fall harvest. In other words, God had taken care of them. He brought them through the fall harvest. If he hadn't sent the rain and the sunshine, they never would have had a spring harvest, right? And if he hadn't taken care of them, they wouldn't have had the fall rain and that harvest either. So when God blesses you, God deserves the thanks, right? And so they're coming together to thank God that we had food that he provided for us. Yeah. And so that's one of the things that you and I need to remember every week when we get together. Yeah. You wouldn't be here if God hadn't provided for you.
Amen.
Not a one of us would be here if he hadn't provided for you. Now, I thank God for the means. As Brother Billy had said earlier, whether it was Social Security or through your employer or whatever. You self-employed or whatever means it is. God is the one, is the source. Every good gift, every perfect gift is what? It's from above. And so when we gather, you've got good reason to thank God. He has provided another week. Yeah. And not just money. I just mentioned that. But all of the other provisions, he's done it. You and I are breathing God's air.
Come on, brother.
Yes? Not a person in here can make air. And if you do, I wouldn't want to breathe it.
uh,
I'm not going to go down that road.
Right.
And so many other things that man is trying to simulate. But think God does it every day. Send the sunshine on the what? The just and the unjust. The rain, right? The righteous and the unrighteous. Yes, he does. And the righteous is the one who knows where your help comes, knows where your provision comes from.
Yeah.
So we're the ones that ought to, when we gather, got reason to thank him.
Yeah. 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 Yes, sir.
Don't we?
Yes, sir.
And so every, you know, what's the song? Every day what,
yeah.
is a day of thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But particularly the Lord's day.
Yeah.
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 Particularly the Lord's day. So they were celebrating the fall, harvest, and the new year. This feast then celebrated God's past faithfulness. And you follow this now. They're celebrating what God has already done in the past. And they're looking forward to him returning and being faithful, what? In the new year.
Uh-huh.
He just brought me through 1 year.
Yeah.
And right here I'm standing on the, we were just talking this morning, man. Y'all know we're right on the verge of a new month. We're sitting on the right now on the cliff. Oh, I shouldn't call it a cliff, but we're on the verge of a new month. God brought us through.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have to know all your situation, but this was rough. But we made it.
Yeah.
He brought us here.
Yeah.
And should we see tomorrow? That's a new month.
Uh-huh.
God did it.
Yes, he
pulled it off.
Yes,
he deserves the thanks, right? He deserves the praise. And so today, thank him for what he did this past week. But we're looking forward to him being good to us, what? In this coming.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank him for the past. And we're looking forward to him being faithful in the future. Yes?
Yes.
You got to keep that in mind now. Keep that in mind. So the sound of the trumpet then assemble God's people for worship in the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Now we're going to wrap it up. Now you got to stay with me now. Stay with me now. In the New Testament, the trumpet assembles God's people for worship too. What? Yeah. Remember, it's not just looking at the past. But God's got a trumpet coming for the future. Okay? Yes, it is? And that trumpet is going to symbol God's people to worship. You ready? You ain't getting this yet. Well, let me make it clear. This is going to happen when Jesus breaks through the clouds. Right? That regal voice, he's going to break through the clouds. And everyone will know. The Bible says, every eye will see him.
Yeah.
Everyone will know that's him.
Yeah.
You can't miss him.
Amen.
You see, he's not coming meek and lowly like he did the first time. He's not coming inconspicuous and riding on a donkey and sliding. He's coming in glory.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Every eye
yeah.
as the king.
Yeah.
The king's coming.
Yeah.
The king's coming. Now, if you can prepare for presidents and folks to come to you, the world's got to get ready because the King of Glory is coming.
Yeah, yeah,
he's coming.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's about to blow a trumpet.
Uh-huh.
And I promise you, he's about to assemble
yeah.
his people to worship. Right?
Yeah.
You getting this picture?
Yeah.
So turn to 1 Corinthians 15. You know the story, don't you?
Yeah.
You know the story. Oh, this is so good. This
yeah.
is so, God is so good. That's why it's good. I'll just read a little bit of it because you've seen this before. 1 Corinthians 15, look at the paragraph starting at verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at what? The last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And Paul, to make sure that we wouldn't miss this, he said it again over in 1 Thessalonians, right? You know the story. First, I'll read a little bit of this. You got to look at the paragraph starting at verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who fall asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Look at this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. I'm telling you, trumpet's coming. And we need to be thanking God and praising God for that. Yes. Thanking him for the future blessing that's to come. Yes. When we gather here on Sundays, you got a reason. Thank God for what he's already done. But the best is yet to come. It's best to come. Eye has not seen what's to come. How wonderful this is going to be. Yes? The dead and the living, those who have died in Christ, those who are living in Christ, will be given what? These eternal bodies, so that we can worship the Lord. How long? Forever. He's calling us together to worship him, not just for a day. We're going to be able to worship him forever, because you're going to need these new bodies with the way we're going to worship God. Glory! There's nothing like this. No. I won't need to see a dentist. Yeah. I won't need these old glasses. I won't need to take anything for arthritis. I won't need it. Don't need it. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Be free. Yeah. Free. Yeah. Free worship. True worship. Finally know what it's like to worship him in what? Spirit. Truth. Yeah. You want that? Looking forward to that. Yes. He's coming. And so believers must worship God for his past and his future faithfulness. So as we conclude, I just want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, hopefully you can see that the Feast of Trumpets was a call to assemble to thank God for, as I said before, both his past faithfulness and to look forward to his faithfulness in the new year, right? That's what the Old Testament saints were doing. The trumpets were, these trumpets were used as a unique means of calling to assemble. And look at this. Everyone who loved God obeyed. Everyone who loved God obeyed the sound of that trumpet, that ram's horn. They knew what it meant. And they came to worship God because the trumpet has what? Sounded. In the future. In the future, Christ will physically return with a divine command for all the saints to assemble. From Abraham to the last living saint on earth, he's going to give a command. And every believer will assemble to meet him in the air. Oh, when he returns, it's going to be so wonderful. This divine trumpet will announce the return of the King of Kings. Yeah, it will. This divine trumpet will be announcing the end of war. No more war. No more war. The war is over. This divine trumpet is going to be announcing the beginning of eternal worship. This is the beginning of the rest of eternity with you in worship like you've never known it before. And this trumpet is going to be announcing the wedding of the Lamb. He's coming! He's coming, and the wedding is about to happen. This is the last trumpet. Why? Because it's the last time Jesus is going to call. There won't be any more calls after this one. Won't be any more calls. You're not in Christ when he calls. It'll Amen. Be too late. Amen. Not a sad day?
Amen.
See, great joy for those 11, because those 11 will obey. They'll go, they will go immediately in the what? In a moment, what? In the twinkling of an eye. We're here and boom, and we're gone. But those left behind, it's going to be a sad day.
Yeah.
Grace is over. Mercy is over.
Yeah.
Hope is over. You know why hell is so bad? There's no hope. There's no grace. There's no mercy. There's no compassion. There's no patience. There's no love in hell. All of these wonderful privileges and blessings that we're accustomed to now, they will be ripped away. You won't be getting the benefits of them. Today is the day to be in Christ. Before the call comes. Yes? Before the call comes. Because when he comes, those that love him will go. This is the end. And every saint will be taken. No one that has ever believed in Jesus will be left behind. Isn't this wonderful? We're in a season where many of our loved ones and friends have died. You think about it. Just in this room right here, with our congregation, think about how many deaths we've had in this season. All of us have lost loved ones at some time. Yes? So we all, then, regardless of your age, understand the loss of someone that you love to death. Well, the truth of this great feast is to give us hope. We will see them again if they died in Christ. We will worship and serve Christ together forever. Christ is coming, and this will be most assuredly happening without fail. It will happen. And because of that, listen to me. Paul, after giving this great theological truth to us in the New Testament, he said two things. He gave two therefores in each one of those contexts that we read. First Thessalonians, he said, therefore, encourage one another, what? With these words. Encourage one another. Those of you who've lost loved ones, they're not lost if they died in Christ. That's the reason we do not grieve as those, what? Who have no hope. Encourage one another. We grieve, but we grieve as those who, what? Have hope, because we will see them again. Now, he also said in 1 Corinthians, he gave a therefore. After giving this great theological truth that Christ is coming and everyone that loves him is going to go away to be with him, he says, therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in your labor and work of the Lord, knowing that your what? Labor in Christ is not what? In vain. What's he saying? Be encouraged and keep serving.
Amen.
Yes. We're born, and if Christ doesn't return, we're going to die. But make sure you die in the Lord. Blessed are those who die in the Lord, because it's what? Their labors will be the one, will be what follows them. Yes? Your labor is not in vain. Be encouraged, have hope, and keep serving the Lord. Keep serving Him. Serve Him when it hurts. Serve Him even though people that we love have died and have left us. Keep serving the Lord, because your what? Labor is not in vain. Every saint can say amen. And if you're not a Christian, how can I say this? If you're not a Christian, you will not be among those
amen.
Taken up. If you are not a Christian, you will be left behind forever. And the encouragement from the scriptures is don't procrastinate thinking that you got plenty of time to get ready. Right? How does the Bible say it? In the day that you hear my voice, don't harden your heart and say, I got plenty of time. I'm healthy. I'm young. I got a good job. I got this going for me. God says, when you hear, obey. Because not one of us in this room knows. You see, what I told you is true. There's a day that Jesus is coming for everybody. But you don't know the day he's coming for you. So every one of us needs to be what? Ready. Because when he calls, whether it's for everybody or just for individuals, when Jesus calls, you got to go. Yes? Father, would you help us now to lay hold these truths? We thank you for the truths left for us with this festival. We thank you for the hope left for us in Christ. We thank you that he has conquered death and the grave and has the keys to death and Hades. We thank you that he has gone before us as the first fruits. We thank you, Lord, that we are certain that he's coming again. And Lord, would you help us now to be encouraged with this reality? Would you help us to be more faithful? Would you help us to be steadfast in our service to you? And then, Lord, my heart is so troubled to think that someone in this room might not go. Someone that has heard today and knows exactly what you have said. My heart is troubled to think that someone would not go. So would you, Holy Spirit, would you work in the heart of everyone under the sound of my voice to bring conviction, real change, so that they too might be among this great number that will hear that regal voice and be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Do it for your glory and for the good of every soul in this room. In Jesus' name, amen.